How does it feel?
It feels like times have changed.
It only happens here. You can feel it.
makeshift.
Mondays.
Makeshift.
Midnight.
Makeshift.
Ladies and gentlemen, HMKU Showcase.
Yeah, boy.
DJ
Unitch.
Under
set.
Alphabet 11番目、そこ出るから赤ペンで丸しとけ。超やつは几帳面で大変、散らかって乱れてらそりゃ大変。ああ汚すなボケ覚えとけ、パチコンはめてくインお届け。コードネーム M と K と U、 うちの父ちゃんおいらにやめとけと言う。だが一度きりの人生、握りつけんのはまだ早いね。 Hi my name is Kuro、 金がねえから常に水風呂。とにかく行くぜついてこい、燃えブルースキルフォーのライフローに良い。今宵を彩るもう一人は
ジグロミクロが暴走レコードで
Dr. Haber, what are we supposed to do here?
ガッガッガのロード脱線したからにはガッガッてこうよ。 Come on yo ホームメイド5年後にはワールドワイド If you know me 狭いねん。この声がありがてえ裸がす
べて変わらず
人生ゲーム、つまりさらにうなぎ登りで今にかましますから見ててよ見ててよ。めくろうよ
めくろう
よ、しちゃってもいつも決めるよ。めくろうと K ワロンメラメラつぬに燃えてるよ。
Come on
回るめくろうどの上走る俺、
ダッシュがマスターシャスリー MK 行くぜ2001。熱い男燃える闘魂イノキアントニオ Like 123だ週刊マス2001。注目家だマシなパワーゲージ満タンマシマバストワーキャッセンジレンマちょっともう待ってらんねえな。
ガッテンだ走りますか、キガスバストラスネア早めテンポで飛んでブストベイ最高の対等の相棒クロミクロリクドリクロ乗り越えユーチェのトラックにゲロンゲロンねゲロンね行こうか止まんねえ
止まんねえよ間違いねえ口先バカじゃまにしゃべそのバカにしてるような冷めた目。
Alright, this is the Valley Forge Berkshire Sequoia. Valley Forge Berkshire Sequoia.
This is Comm Central. Channel open for executive order AUC 3423. Listen to this, boys.
In der City steht Beton blank.
Wir atmen Smog ein, Smog ein.
In der City steht Beton blank.
Wir atmen Smog ein, Smog ein.
Die City stresst.
In der City steht Beton blank.
Wir atmen Smog ein, Smog ein.
In der City steht Beton blank.
Wir atmen Smog ein, Smog ein.
Ich hab die Augen weit geöffnet, immer auf der Hut wie ein Dschungeltier. Wenn du den Mut verlierst, ist das herzlich dumm von dir, denn in der City musst du durch Leute verstumpfen hier. Jeder geht an dir vorbei und durchschaubar wie Dunkelbier. Ich weiß nicht den Grund dafür, vielleicht sind zu viele hier. Die meisten sind überfordert, für ein einfaches Ich liebe dir. Hauptsache die Welt ist connected, über T-Online. Emotionen werden kalt, werden härter als Betonstein.
Bin in der City, hier ich wohne, da stehen Betonblocks. Smog wirft meine Nase, wenn ich vom Balkon glotz. Die Leute gehen, wissen nicht, wo die Bremse ist. Scheißegal, ob Hamburg oder Los Angeles. Ich bin verwirrt wie El Bandi, wenn Frauen die Brüste weh. Der Smog der City ist undurchschaubar wie Küstennebel. An manchen Tagen brauch ich einen Krankenwagen. In der City gibt es wenige, die auch mal Danke sagen.
In der City steht Betonblocks.
Wir atmen Smog ein, Smog ein.
In der City steht Betonblocks.
Wir atmen Smog ein, Smog ein.
Die City stresst.
In der City
steht Betonblocks.
Wir atmen Smog ein, Smog ein.
In der City steht Betonblocks.
Wir atmen Smog ein.
I swear they're not human.
Setz mein Fuß vor die Tür, Stimme im Strom. Spür, ich bin gefangen im City-Syndrom. Die meisten sind so rücksichtslos, die Klingonen. Ich
Ich hab die neuesten Tapes an Bord, wechsel stetig meinen Standort. Sag ständig Hallo, doch krieg täglich keine Antwort. Das sind die Symptome, es sagt keiner Hi. Leider bleibt in der Stadt für guten Tag keine Zeit. Menschen bist du einerlei, sie laufen an dir vorbei. Überall und immer wieder derselbe Einheitsbrei.
Eigentlich komm ich damit gar nicht klar. Ich war nicht da, als die das gebaut haben, als das noch alles Botanik war. Hier war zu viel gebaut, zu viel Lärm und
Fett.
Und keiner wird den Leuten helfen, die im Siff liegen. Denn leider wird das Ganze hier keiner in den Griff kriegen.
In der City stehen Betonblocks.
Wir atmen Smog ein, Smog ein.
In der City stehen Betonblocks.
I keep on finding thongs in the basket of my whip. Because I bust now.
Wait, wait, wait.
They wanna be us now.
Be us now.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I said I'm done in no socks. Motorboat on some knocks. Blowing you like it's dollars. Bumping Biggie, who shot you? Make up all of my color. She said she wanna baller. The way to lose, make her taller. So that is slaughter. Had a run. Keep on finding thongs in the backseat of my whip. Because I bust now.
Wait, wait, wait.
You know that I'm up now.
Wait, wait, wait. Hoop,
hoop, hoop. I'm on the road. 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 Oh, 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 oh. Girl, leave me alone. You're ringing down my phone. Sex, but you get the dial tone now. Please don't be a pest. Don't distract me from this door now. I'ma send a text when I'm ready for you.
Wait, wait, wait.
She said, oh no, let me take off my kimono. I told her, arigato, cause we about to make a porno. Beat that, yeah, like we inside a dojo. Then I kick that, yeah, like we inside a dojo. House party ain't no club tonight. I keep on finding thongs in the backseat of my whip. Because I bust now.
Wait, wait, wait.
You know that I'm up now.
Wait, wait, wait. Hoop,
hoop, hoop. I'm on the road. 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 I'm on the road.
And you're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. The name of the show is Night Shift. I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with the mystery guest. Hello, mystery guest.
Hello.
So here's the thing. On Night Shift, as you know, as if you've been listening, if you've never listened before, let me school you. We play what we call DGM. DGM stands for Damn Good Music. Now, to me, damn good music is anything that takes you somewhere. The music you just heard, the music you're listening to actually right now, takes me somewhere. And the person who takes us there is here in the studio. Super duper.
Wait, wait, wait!
So let me ask you a question. First, my first question to you is, because I want to come back to Osaka, which was the name of that song, and why you wrote it and how you ended up there. But how did you come to music? When did you first know that this is what you wanted to do?
So definitely when I
Well, we're gonna start from the beginning.
Yeah.
I was born in St. Lucia.
Okay.
So, you know, you been to St. Lucia?
No, I want to.
Yeah, it's the Caribbean. It's, yeah, I know, it's amazing. You been over there?
I'm Trinidadian. Mystery guest. So.
You Trinidadian? No,
no. Yeah, I'm Trinidadian.
Oh, yes, Trinidad. What you talking about, yeah. No? What you talking about, no?
Roti with...
Yeah, I'm...
What is it? Plenty pepper. No, but so I was born in St. Lucia.
I've been to St. Croix. That's about it.
I've never been to St. Croix.
Okay.
Right. But, you know, if you go to one island, you've been to all islands.
That's true.
You know, I tell the people that all the time. It's paradise. To me, I'd rather be in the islands.
Okay.
Than be in a big city, you know?
Now tell me about growing up in the islands, though, because you're here in New York, and a lot of people from New York. New York's a weird place. Half the people you meet are from New York, and they've never been anywhere else.
Yeah.
Everything's here. And the other half of people you meet all came from somewhere else to be in New York.
Absolutely.
So tell me about what it was like, and what was the music like in St. Lucia?
Well, in St. Lucia, I got here when I was six, so from I was born to when I came to New York, you know, it's reggae music, calypso music, Trini, so you know how it is.
Yeah.
That good soca, that good crossfire.
Don't forget calypso.
Yeah, calypso, definitely. Yeah, right. Soca, calypso, and, you know, reggae. I listen to a lot of reggae. I was actually introduced to reggae from, my uncles and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
okay, all right.
So, growing up, I listened to a lot of reggae. But growing up in St. Lucia, well, I didn't grow up in St. Lucia, but being in St. Lucia for the time being was amazing. You know, you get to enjoy the weather.
Okay.
The tropical weather, the tropical vibes, you know, you got fruits, that good food. There's no McDonald's in St. Lucia, especially in those times. I was born in 91, so there's no McDonald's, there was KFC.
No McDonald's, but believe me, you didn't miss anything.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it was dope. It was nice. It was all about, again, enjoying the weather and just being able to go to the beach whenever I wanted to. Because, you know, in New York, I ain't trying to go on that beach.
Not for at least 8 months out of the year.
Yeah.
All right. So now how did you come to music, and when did you know that this was it?
So 1 year from when my mom bought me a CD player. She sent me a CD player from here because she was already here, actually. So I'm going to tell you about that. My mom moved to, I can't remember when she moved to New York, but she moved here. And, you know, in search for a better life. So she sent me a CD player from, my birthday or Christmas. I can't remember. But so she sent that, and she also sent two albums. She sent the Busta Rhymes album and I think it was a Diddy album.
Okay.
So I used to listen to that a lot. You know, you had songs. I can't remember what album it was, but you had songs on the Busta album like Put Your Hands Up.
Right.
And those records.
Right.
It was fresh for me, and I was just like, "Yo, okay, hip hop, I could do this." You know, I'm listening to it. So when I got here, when I was six, I just was listening to a lot of hip hop music. I was just listening to a lot of, probably not when I was six, but as I got older, I caught myself listening to a lot of Lloyd Banks.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Banks is one of the goats. Lloyd Banks, Cassidy, 50 Cent.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up on that type of stuff. So after that, I realized, like, okay. You know, I like music a lot. I wasn't too much into television. I wasn't really a movie guy like that so much. It was just more about the music for me. And I'm still like that, actually.
All right. Well, you know, but here's what I notice about your music. You know, irregardless of the lyrics, you're telling a story.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm assuming some of this is your life because you spent time in Japan. So tell me about the song we just heard, Osaka. Like, how did that come about?
All right. So, as far as me being in Japan, I was a DJ for about a long time before I became an artist.
Okay.
Well, DJs are artists.
I agree.
So
I see this.
Before I started rapping.
What are you talking about? I'm standing. I'm a DJ here. Okay.
Definitely.
So yeah.
So I was a DJ first, you know, before I started rapping and making beats. And I started out in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And, you know, I started doing clubs like Club Gravity. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
I've heard
it's
of it.
It's in, like, Crown Heights.
Yeah, I've heard
so
of it.
So, Club Gravity, it was for the kids, teenagers. Club Gravity, Buzz Nightclub, stuff like that. So, I built... You know, it was crazy. Actually, before I started doing clubs, I was doing online broadcasting through Ustream.
Really?
Straight
Ustream,
out of my room.
Yeah. Ustream. Back when you could get the video free and all
yes.
that.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Yes.
We used to stream the show live.
That was the best time of my life.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I was doing that for a while. And actually, the crazy thing about it, I was doing it through high school.
right.
So I used to Ustream every night during the week. So wow. It'd be like Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
About 10 p.m. to 5 in the morning. It was so bad that I couldn't even wake up for school the next day.
Yeah. You were a Ustream addict. Yo, what you're trying to tell me.
It was crazy because
okay.
I would have like the chat. This is before everything went digital.
Right.
Not digital. Everything went mobile.
Right, right. You know, right, everybody right, was right,
actually
right.
logged on their computers.
Right.
So you had full interaction in the chat.
Listen to how we're talking. Like back when people were logged in on their computers. Like back then.
This okay, Instagram yeah. Live now.
Right. It's in your hand lit. Now, right?
Yeah, man. Like I can't. I wish it would go back. I wish it would shift the culture back to people actually logging on their computers. Because the interaction was amazing in the chat. You know, I have people actually requesting in the chat. We'll have full conversations in the chat. You know, it was a vibe.
Yeah, no, believe me, I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been there. I did a radio show on Ustream, so.
So, I started there, and then I built my buzz. I was able to build my buzz, and, you know, I started getting bookings.
Okay.
In Brooklyn. And overseas as well. But before I started getting the overseas bookings, I got those in Brooklyn. So
Brooklyn to Japan.
Yeah, that was
happen
funny.
Every day.
It doesn't.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you about the first Japanese Brooklyn booking I got. I used to make a lot of mixtapes, and I'll put them online, put them on SoundCloud and stuff like that, on my Facebook.
Even though there were no actual tapes.
They weren't actual tapes.
Yes, no, I understand it.
They were digital tapes, but you know, we still call them mixtapes. You know, the DJ life.
Of course.
So I started doing that, and you know, the tapes they're really good. You know, they had like 50,000 views, 100,000 views, and the way I was promoting it online, I would just, you know, promote it. I had this little app that would blast it out to people, so I was just spamming everybody, and it would reach. You know, it reached a lot of places. So one day I got a mention on Twitter. And it was from a lady in Japan. But it was crazy. It was a Trini woman.
A Trini woman in Japan.
Trini woman living in Japan.
I love it.
When I tell people about Japan all the time, they'll be like, yo, what's Japan like? And I'll be like, it's Africans everywhere. And they'll be like, what? Yeah. That's
interesting.
That's
interesting.
Tokyo. But I'll tell you about that in a little while. So the Trini woman hit me up on, I forgot her name. Damn, I wish I remember that name.
That's all right.
I'll get it. But she hit me up and she was like, hey, I'm listening to your mix. It was a... Kompa and African music mix, right? Okay. So she was listening to that, and I was just like, oh wow. So I clicked her profile, and I seen her location was in Tokyo, and right away, you know, I was an opportunist, so I was just like, hey, I jumped in her DM right away, and I was just like, hey, I don't know if you could connect me with a promoter or something, but please, I would appreciate it. I'll find my way there.
Yeah, I love to spin in Japan. I'm with you.
Okay. Yo, so you know, I just wanted it. At my age, it would have been really crazy for a guy like me to come from Brooklyn to, you know, DJ.
Yeah, but nobody told you that you couldn't.
Exactly.
So, I'm with you.
But I was just more chasing the fact that I could get those bragging rights over everyone else.
Right.
You know, especially just coming from Crown Heights. So, anyway, she connected me with two promoters, and I got the bookings, right? Now... we're talking, I was probably 21, right? So around there, and I wasn't working, right? So I was like, damn, I got the bookings, but how am I gonna get to Japan? So I didn't know how I was gonna get to Japan. It's like two to three weeks prior to the date,
and you didn't know how you're gonna get there.
And I didn't know how I was gonna get there.
I like it. I'm with it.
So
is it clearly a TV series in your career going?
Man, it's the best thing. This is so dope. So one day I'm sleeping. I sleep late. I'm kind of, you know, I'm one of those guys. I'm in the studio all night.
Up late.
Up late. So you sleep.
Listen,
late.
You're on this sleep. Show. You're on this show, obviously.
So. Got to sleep sometime. So I'm sleeping, and then my phone rings, and it's my barber, and he's just like, "Yo, Super, somebody just hit your car," and I'm like, "Somebody just hit my car." He's like, yeah, she's right here. Apparently, this lady, it was an older woman. No offense to women, but, you know, they could get crazy when they drive.
She fit the stereotype. Okay, I'm with you.
She fit the stereotype.
Yes, you know, there are some people who fit the stereotype. Yeah. It exists for a reason.
When I'm driving and somebody that's like crazy in front of me, I always look. I always be like, I bet it's a woman. I look, and it's a woman.
I can't speak to that.
I'm sorry, Mr.
I can't speak to that. Cannot speak to that.
No offense taken.
I know nothing. I know nothing.
I love the women, but the driving. We gotta get the driving up. But anyway, the good thing about women is they got riding down pack.
Yeah, okay.
No offense to Mr. Guest. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I run outside and cool. The lady's there. So she hit my car and she hit another car. So my car was the parked car.
Wow, she was moving.
She was actually, I don't know what was going on. You know?
Yeah.
But she hit my car and then she hit the woman that was in front of her. So she had to stay, obviously, you know, wait for the cops. So thank God for that. They came and we did the police report and Geico cut me a $1,700 check.
Nice. Ah. Nice. Yeah. And you're like, Japan.
Japan.
Oh, I'm with you. I love it. Geico.
I never fixed it.
Did you name your first album Geico?
I didn't. Okay. It's Humble Gardens. You go get that EP.
All right. All right. So
that's how I got to Japan.
That's how you got to Japan. That's a great story. Now, so Osaka, I just played that, and I want to play Steppen, but tell me a little bit of what inspired Osaka, and then tell me what inspired Steppen.
So after I did, you know, I did a few bookings in Tokyo. I loved it so much. It was one of the best times of my life. You know, I had a lot of fun. The culture is really nice out there. It's different. It's definitely different from what's going on in New York and in the Caribbean and stuff. So anyway, after connecting with promoters and stuff in Tokyo, I ended up going back to Japan another time. And then this time was for Osaka. So I did a club called Pure, I believe. In Osaka. It was the name of the event was Black Tuesday something. But it was a Tuesday night in Osaka. And you know that record, I'm going up on a Tuesday. They really go up on a Tuesday in Osaka.
Okay, okay.
So after that night, you know, I always said, like, if I got to go back to Japan, I definitely want to revisit Osaka. And shout out to Danny, he's here with me. Shout out to Daz Leon and my partner. We make music together, obviously. And we was in the studio one night, and the way we make music, we usually make the beat on spot because the vibe is better. So we were just freestyling, and, you know, I just came up with the Osaka. I think I freestyled the Osaka.
All right. Well, Danny, welcome.
What's up?
Wait. All right. Talk to me now.
You hear me?
All right. Now I hear you. All right. So tell me. So if you produce while he raps and writes, and so you tell me, how did your remembrance of how Steppen came together? Because he told us about Osaka.
Well, actually, for Steppen, Super was like the main producer. He produced the beat. But this was, we actually formulated like a majority of the lyrics. Well, not majority. I would say the beginning portion that everybody's more familiar with. Steppen on my toes, but I don't stop. We formulated that like randomly. We were playing another completely different beat.
And it just came to you.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to listen to this now.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was actually, so the crazy thing about Steppen, a lot of people don't know, is Daz does tattoos. So he was actually doing a tattoo at the time, and I was making a beat, and then he freestyled the beginning part. It was just like, Steppen on my toes, but I don't stop. And I was like, yo, that's it! So anyway, we had that. We sat on it for a bit, and then, you know, another night, when Daz was even around, I ended up making. Matter of fact, he wasn't in the studio, but I ended up making this beat. I made this beat in 5 minutes. I don't know. You know, shout out to my boy DJ Binks for finding the sound. That was dope.
Cause I'm stabbing on my toes, but I don't stop. I make flips out of my flops. My side dripping on my socks with the grip, so I don't pop. Plus, I am your pops, cause your mom just let me pop. And I got the top, boy, y'all left that hot. Give a hello, shot it up like that black, and I'm a car. Want that drop, hop back in the whip, took off. Swerving on the block, World Trade Center, I am not. But I'm like ISIS, cause I am the nicest. Baby girl, your MCM go two ways like a psychic. I see my future booming, I am a psychic. People don't wanna see me, but tell them please don't fight it. Light it, wait. Hold my down and jay, yeah, don't play, yeah. Pull it with the dirty, yeah, can't spray, yeah. Make you dance and do the na-na-na, your journal say. They only know me by my AKA, Super Duper. With the Koopa Troopers, that my nana favorite shooter. Shelly make an atheist go worship Buddha. Come on, ha ha, David, boy, you finna die. I am
I got y'all. And I don't tell, look, I don't know, and I don't care. I just run through the money like I'm Zoe Dollar. Yeah, look, got my flow. Whoa, like a cup of foes just for the air. Okay, now stop it. You ain't all that, so stop it. All the swag in my jeans, and I ain't talking about pockets. The swagger jacking, they wondering where they cop it. She tell me that she love me. I step back hard, then that hard did. Now I'm out here stepping on her. Stepping on her, stepping on her. Stepping on her, stepping on her. Stepping on her, stepping on her. But I don't stop.
So I got to ask you some questions about your style now, because I'm Caribbean. I know, you know, some of what you're doing there, but you know, this, what's interesting about what you do is you definitely have a mixture of styles.
Absolutely.
You know, I definitely hear your roots, as it were, but I definitely hear certain influences in hip hop. So who do you, you know, you told me what those first two albums were, but what do you consider yourself to be? How do you define what you do?
I'm just a kid from Brooklyn that just wants to make fun music. Okay. It's all about the vibe for me, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm not too calculated on, as opposed, like, I won't say like, oh, it has to be like this or it has to be like this.
Right.
It's just all about the vibe. If it sounds good, if it feels good, you know. And we make feel good music. That's what
all
we
right.
do.
Well, you make damn good music. Remember,
appreciate
that.
That's you.
Now
good.
I need it. DGM.
Is DGM.
That's how you do it. All right. So tell me, I'm going to play this track, and then I want you to, it's called Big Daddy.
Yeah, definitely.
But
Big
then
Daddy.
I want you to tell me how you came to Big Daddy.
I'm going up. I ain't never coming down. Super duper pull up in your town. Yellow whip, zigzag, Charlie Brown. You know I got the diamonds in my crown. I'm a king. Eight in my castle. New marine for all you. Skip the hassle. Keep the baby mama drama and the shackles. Cause I got way too many. I got a tag along. I'm a pimp. In my pink caddy. Even talk, call me Big Daddy. Fake booty. All like a rock is a stiff fatty. Still up on my. In the middle, that's a beef patty. Woo. She call me Big Daddy. Woo. She call me Big Daddy, fake booty. All like a rock is a stiff fatty. Still up on my. In the middle, that's a beef patty. Man, I'm trippin'. I left my charger by my side, yo. Had to tell my wifey why my phone died on her. Thinking about how I made shorty ride on her. Lipstick on my jaws, throw some Tide on it. Kill it, that's a sacrifice. Hit it 4, 5, 6 ways like I'm rolling dice. That's a egg rack. Shift the furniture, had to push the bed back. Kinky, don't forget the tingle it. While you grip the stick your tongue, I wiggle it. On some freaky show me what you do with stick. Messy, but it never trip. Girl, I heard you legit. Not y'all, but you never quit. That's a pro. Run the check, something you go broke for. She give me action for the camera, made a GoPro. She pull it, twist it, Bobby, when she thinkin' slow-mo. Pull it, twist it, Bobby, when she thinkin' slow-mo. She call me Big Daddy. Woo. She call me Big Daddy, fake booty. All like a rock is a stiff fatty. Still up on my. In the middle, that's a beef patty. Woo. She call me Big Daddy. Woo. She call me Big Daddy, fake booty. All like a rock is a stiff fatty. Still up on my. In the middle, that's a beef patty. Got all of these, but I love these. Please don't ask me where my money goes. Whether friend or foes. Only care about with them big booties and pretty toes. You gon' think I work for immigration way I'm catching those. Love the way you handle pie. Run a kennel lie. Ain't no strings attached. Turn a lie. Keep it black and white. Girl, I cannot lie. Your must be doing exercise. Cause it's hella tight. Try me crazy when you skid on every night. She call me Big Daddy. She call me Big Daddy.
Oh, this text me. Oh, that really just text me.
She call me Big Daddy.
I gotta say, I like how you work that Big Daddy laugh in there. Yeah, the Big Daddy laugh.
It's all about the vibe.
It is all about the vibe. Now, so tell me, first of all, how can people get your music? How did you get signed? Talk to me a little bit about what happened with your career. So you were spinning and you started doing music. Talk to me.
Well, First, you could definitely find my music everywhere. You know, okay. Spotify, Tidal, SoundCloud, YouTube, you know, you name it, Apple Music. You can find my EP, Humble Gardens, that is out now. Humble Gardens EP. And we have some singles out as well. So, you know, check that out. Super Duper Humble. Find me on Instagram. All socials. It's SupaDupaHumble.
I love the name, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Yeah, so find me everywhere and hit me up. Hit me up. I'm not stush. You know what stush mean, right?
Yeah.
I talk back.
Yeah, all right. And so, you know, you mentioned also, you talk about vibe and you talk about you're missing the interaction from Ustream. You know, performing, you know, how, like, when do you perform and what do you get out of performing? Because there's the performing of the music when you're creating it. Right. That's a whole thing.
Absolutely.
But tell me how does that compare to when you do and you play your music in front of an audience to perform?
It's indescribable. You know, it's just that vibe where, you know, it's like that rush. You get that rush every time. I get that rush every. I can't speak for anyone else, but I get that rush every time, especially just even from when I used to DJ. You know. You get that. You play.
That's where I was going.
You play a big song.
Sure, and you get everybody moving, and you're like, you're feeling, you're working the crowd. I know what you're talking about.
Especially in like Caribbean parties. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Caribbean parties, Mystery Guest.
I haven't been to many.
Okay. So, I'm gonna give you some insight real quick. Okay. So when in Caribbean parties, you play a big song, you get something. It's called a forward.
Okay.
You know what a forward is?
Yes, I do.
It's forward is when like the whole crowd either sings out the record,
sure,
or you know, makes noise, bangs on the walls and stuff like that. So that's a forward. And when you get that is crazy. I can't describe that feeling. I can't at all. So you know, it's that same vibe when people receive you well and they just want to interact with you and you got them in the palm of your hand. It's a great feeling. So definitely the feel, you know, it feels amazing.
It does. The music. All right. Well, now you have a song called Osaka, but you also have a song called Aruba.
Yeah, one of my favorites. Hey.
I said, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Going on this scuba gear, fly that bitch out to Aruba, yeah, Aruba, yeah. Look like she from Otis, yeah, Otis, yeah, yeah. I said.
Tell me a little bit about how you came up with this, because I picture totally car down, it's
yes.
Sun,
yes.
You're driving, you're waving,
yes,
everything slows down for a minute.
Absolutely, we actually didn't shoot the visual yet, but that's exactly where we're going. We're gonna shoot that in the islands. You know, we need the drop top rank. We need the Wrangler with the doors off.
Well, you better tell Stefan if he hires a director, you better call me.
That's the
you
fact. You gotta right? be out there with us.
All right. Yeah, that's it. I feel this. Producer something now. So first of all, how did you two meet? And the two-part question, how did you two meet and how did you know or when do you know that you should you could vibe?
We actually met in college in Greensboro when Super was, I think at the time.
Before he was Super, pre-Super.
He was still Super. I was Duper.
You were pretty Super. Okay. He was always Super.
At the time, I think he was still DJing for like free at the time, just trying to get gigs.
Okay. Yeah.
And
pre-Osaka.
This is before.
Yeah, definitely. Way before Osaka. Okay.
At the time, I was doing tattoos at that time as well, and he had no tattoos. And he was just, we were talking, and he was interested in getting a half sleeve. So we got cool from just being around each other in the school, having mutual friends. And then that's maybe 2009. Fast forward to 2016, was that?
I believe so, yeah.
October 2016 was when we actually started working on music, because I was writing with one of my mentors. He's a producer as well. I was writing with him, and Super was making beats. So we were working with an artist trying to develop her. And he was like, hey, I'll come to the studio. I got beats. Let's work together.
Let's work together. I love it.
You know, I already heard some of his stuff, so it's like, yo, let's do it.
Well, you know, something else that's interesting, and I'm going to get a little esoteric on you there. You know, there's a language to music where, you know, in movie music, I'm a big movie soundtrack fan, and, you know, I talk to composers, and, you know, there's certain sounds like, you know, when suspense or action or whatever. But with music, you know, listening to your music, like, how could you really be in a bad mood that day? Like, you know what I mean? You had a bad day, you put this on, you're feeling good. And so the vibe, like you say, you try to create fun music, so you're having fun, do it, so it comes across in the music.
Absolutely.
So my question to you is, you know, do you think that's just intrinsic? What's your thought on how artists can do that? Because you can do it, but you've had other people do it to you. What's your thought on that?
Honestly, it's just, from everything with me as far as the music, is, well, not even just with life, period. It revolves around the vibe, right? So, like, just to go back what you said a while ago as far as the feel of the music and the vibe. If I'm in a bad mood that day, I can't go in. Like, if we go in, we'll just call it a waste night. We'll be like, oh, this is a waste night.
I understand that.
So, you know, it has to be right. The vibe got to be right. Whether I can't be tired, I can't be hungry, I can't be annoyed, can't be none of that. I got to be good. We got to go in. We got to laugh a bit. Laugh a lot. You gotta laugh a lot.
Listen, you notice the lighting here. I bring my own lights, okay? So I'm with you. You gotta have the vibe. I'm with you on that.
So, yeah.
All right. So, and what's your thought on that, Danny?
It's definitely vibe, because we've never like gone into the studio and it's really like it's like people would think it's just strictly business. You go in and we get straight to work. We go in, we sit down, we chill, we laugh, we joke, and then we start playing music. And just build off of the vibe that's already going on. So being that it is feel-good music, we're never really going to, like, be in there in, like, a glum, like, solemn mood and then come up with, like, a Aruba.
Gotcha. You know, it's gotcha. I got you. Built off the vibe.
You want to, just to piggyback on that, the crazy thing about it is sometimes we'll go in and we'll catch something right away. Like, literally 5 minutes in, I use machine. So I'll get on the machine. I make beats as well. So I get on the machine and I'll catch something like literally right away. I'll just find a sound, lay the melody, add the snare, add the 808, and then we'll just go to writing right away. But sometimes I'll be on the couch until 4 or 5 in the morning and then we'll catch it. You know, so
I totally understand.
It's all about the vibe. And then you have the other nights where we just be like, I fall asleep, or Dad falls asleep, Perry falls asleep, Bing falls asleep.
I understand.
You know, so definitely. We can't, and one thing I always do is I tell people we can't force it. Can't force it.
Listen back to that song you forced, you're like, oh, this is crap. Okay. I'm with you.
Scrap it.
All right, so the last track we're going to play is Project Pat. You want to tell us anything?
Or? Oh, man. That's my favorite.
Of everything?
Project Pat is my favorite record. I'm not going to be biased and say it's my favorite record of all time. It's one of my favorite records of all time, and it's probably one of my favorite records that I will ever make.
You say that now, at this early part of your career.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to play this back to you 30 years from now.
Let's do it.
That just was it. Okay. All right.
It's
so a
classic.
This is a future classic.
This is a classic. All right.
Hey, you just read Super Duper Hummer. But I'm busy. gambling. Can't pay before I sample it. Got the condoms in the cabinet. I ain't into gambling. I ain't into gambling. I ain't into gambling. Can't pay before I sample it. Got the condoms in the cabinet. I ain't into gambling. I ain't into gambling. Cause I am a prop check. Cause I am a prop check. Cause I am a prop check.
All right, so I have a question for you now. So people can get your music, but what about when you're going to perform next? Like, is there like, do you have a website? What's your, what can, how can people stay? And Instagram, how can people stay?
Definitely Instagram. Okay. I'm on social media a lot. I'm actually on Instagram a lot.
Okay. Are you on Instagram right now?
Not right now, but I was. I just checked.
No, you just checked.
Okay. So follow me on Instagram. I'll follow y'all back.
All right, and what is it on Instagram?
Super Duper Humble, SupaDuperHumble.
Okay.
And follow my partner, Daz Leon.
DazLeone.
Also, DazLeone.
O-N-E,
okay.
Also, if you want to keep up with, like, the upcoming shows, we're still trying to lay that stuff out right now. But okay.
We got a lot of offers, so we're just, you know, figuring it out.
On Spotify, there's actually a show calendar. So when we log the shows, you'll be able to find it on there.
I get a free ticket, right?
Yeah, definitely. Right. You got an all access pass. That's a fact.
Yeah, you're going to be on stage.
Justin, what about?
You as well. Of course. You live there with us.
Okay.
You're going to be on stage. You're going to get more mic and all that.
I'm going to be like, in a world. Okay. So
make sure y'all go get that Humble Gardens EP, man. It's crazy. All those records you just heard is on the EP, and if it's not on the EP, it's on my Spotify, on my whatever, wherever you stream music from, it's on there. So, you know, check that out. And Steppen got 6 million, well, about to hit 6 million streams.
6 million streams.
I'm proud of that.
That's one platform.
You're like the 6 million
That's
stream
Spotify.
Man.
That's on Spotify. That's just Spotify.
I'm going to call you the 6 million stream man.
I'll take that.
And now, before I let you go, I'm going to ask the mystery guest. Mystery guest, did you have any questions for Super Duper?
Well, yeah. You know, the Aruba song.
Hey.
I liked all of them. They're all great. But, you know, the car, the Jeep, whatever it is, you know. And can you clarify what the first one of the first the lyric that sounds like scuba? Because I'm seeing someone in the mask.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So
it's scuba.
Yeah, scuba.
Okay. Because I'm seeing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So wet. I need scuba gear.
I need scuba gear.
Because something is so wet. You know, we can't see that.
So I'm seeing the underwater.
Absolutely.
Scene, yes.
It's like at the end of the video,
they jump in or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and
scuba
dive.
In the beach, we're on jet skis.
The snorkel isn't scuba, but, you know, people are going to.
Definitely.
Yeah, you don't need.
You've been scuba diving before?
No, but I've done the snorkel, so maybe that's why I'm thinking of the snorkel. You know.
What about you, Mike?
Yeah. I've been snorkeling.
Snorkeling. Yes. You guys got to go scuba diving.
I haven't gone scuba diving.
I gotta get my gear.
New York. I don't get to go scuba diving.
Where's my gear?
You gotta take a course and the whole thing.
I gotta get my scuba gear.
You can get scuba gear if you go scuba diving.
That's somewhere. Right. I've been tempted to go.
Yes.
Yeah, we gotta go down to Turks and Caicos and go scuba diving.
Oh, listen.
I did it in Thailand.
And Stefan will make this happen.
That's a fact.
Okay, all right.
We about to be rich, so we're taking everybody scuba diving.
All right, I'm with it. Right. Stefan, you know, I got a recording of this, okay? So you
got right. 6 million stream.
6 million streams, almost. It's a super
almost Uber. 6 million. Is that like 5.6?
And on which platform?
On Spotify. Right.
On Spotify. Yeah. 6 million streams on Spotify. You know, wow.
You know, it's actually crazy.
What?
We're actually doing about all platforms. Steppen is doing about 1 million streams a week right now.
Wow.
So I'm an analytics guy. All right.
It's gonna be like 3 days.
So when you get super big, when you get super duper big.
Yeah.
You still going to come back and do this?
Absolutely.
All right, you better
come back. Yo, this is my first radio interview.
Is this your first?
Oh, so I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. First one. All right.
This is the first one, so this is classic.
And the best, just like Project Pat. This will be your favorite radio show that you ever did.
Fact.
All right.
We got to come back here, Steph. When we hit platinum, we come back here.
Please. Right. That's what when you hit platinum, come back.
Definitely. We do that.
So.
And we're going to give you a plaque.
All right. Well, super duper. Right. And Danny. And Danny, like, so is this it? Do you produce anybody else, or he's your man?
It's a tag team duo. All
right, I like that.
And
I
he
like
that the humble part of his name is real, because he does a lot of the work with the production, and he just puts my name on it just straight. Like, yeah, I'm gonna just throw you as the producer.
You know, my guy. I like that.
Give him that credit.
Well, you know what? You know, I'm a DJ here, but I write music too, and I love collaborating. And that's one of the best things about music is that, you know, best thing about collaborating on art, period, is that you just throw the ego out.
Yeah.
And just go.
Yes, we was just having this conversation the other day about egos and how it would just mess up in the way, bro. It was just like, it's like a virus. Yeah. It'll just kill everything.
I call it a cancer.
There you go.
Because it'll eat away at what's good.
Yeah. Super absolutely. Duper. Thank you, bro. Thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Danny.
Thank you.
8888888888. Scuba Gat.
Yeah, I want to be in the background. Yeah.
We put some reverb on it.
Yeah. No, wait. Hey. I'll show you what I got with me.
Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I've never seen. What is that? Yeah, you know what this looks like.
Yeah, for like a giant test.
Yeah. 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 Yo, this guy has a handheld reverb maker.
That's right. That's right.
I never seen this.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
Wild. Hey,
at 99 cent store.
99 cent store for real?
Yeah, that's right. That's where I got it.
Is it really a reverb maker?
It's a reverb, of course. That's what it is. Listen, I turn down the music. Listen, talk.
This way?
You just talk into it.
And yo. Get,
there you go.
Yo. Yo. I'm a side away, yeah. Hey.
All right, you tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI, 99.5 FM.
The Night Shift.
Wait. Night Shift.
Systematic, just a new passport diplomatic, like a gun team problematic. Yes, I'm hot, and I'm la antipathy. My dragon, MC Bullet, your mathematics.
Connect and coin your cat, Moham rap cat, Balak reggae jazz cat, Legay Punu, la new Yanni, Mohammed Yet, Gatsa, Fetch Blues cat, do the Wahan do act, do recognize it, do the whole of you act, do recognize it. Hi, I'll be reckoning you, Atlanta. You know, racism, but Atlanta. Connect the public, but hot nehal. The who connect the good of summer of Hutsi Hall.
And Atlanta, we wanna be thematic. Buga Akimo public. Tahle Yan crew is and concert public. Do you not go in Vati and crew you and public? You are Yan, fool, connect the public.
Danse bise, on se met la bise, mais on s'aime pas.
Tu n'es pas dans sa corde, mon bras qui fait.
C'est pas sympa. Danse bise, on se met la bise, mais on s'aime pas.
Tu n'es pas dans sa corde, mon bras qui fait.
C'est pas sympa.
It's going out to my man Ben and my man Danny. One time for your mind. LLC Corporation. He's on the game. It's going out to my seeds in America, in Africa, in Asia, in Australia, Europe. We are.
in the studio. Yo, what's up?
So we just did a piece with Supa Dupa and his new EP, which you can get everywhere. And now I'm going to switch gears and talk about a different kind of music. There's a movie out now. It's been the number one movie in the country. It's called A Quiet Place. And I have the composer, Marco Beltrami, with an interview talking about the music he did for A Quiet Place. Marco Beltrami, welcome back to Night Shift. How are you, man?
Hey, good. Very good.
Saw the film, and I got a chance to interview the screenwriters about the film, and they talked about the sound design that they actually put in the script. And, you know, this is a very unique film where there's not a lot of dialogue, there's sign language, so it's essentially visuals and sound, and the soundtrack's a big part of that. How different was your approach to doing this, and how interesting a project was this for you to work on?
Right from the outset, it was a very intriguing project to me when I first met with John, the director, and he was telling me, I mean, I read a script for it, and I got a little bit of a sense from the script, but after seeing them shoot some of the stuff, they were just finishing shooting when I met with him, I realized that it was really going to be a unique project in that sense. There's, you know, maybe two or three lines of dialogue in the whole movie, and since the whole thing is based on sound and dialogue and the aliens being able to track people by the sounds they make, that score would both have to tell the story to some degree, the emotional arc, but also provide attention, a scarier part that was, you know, sort of this alien presence. And that, and also the fact that it really couldn't beat you over the head, it had to be a very subtle score in many respects, because the whole thing was being able to play off the silence in the environment and all that, and music had to be sensitive to that.
Until I heard the score, I didn't know how much was sound design, how much was score, but there's definitely a sense of like a pulsing. There's an electronic sound. It's almost like a heartbeat. You know, there's something that builds in tension. Tell me a little bit about the choice to have unrecognizable, maybe electronic sounds versus acoustic sounds in creating a score for something like this.
All the sounds are created from acoustical sources, and even the electronic things. They're electronic manipulations of, you know, either a drum or low string stuff. In the case of that pulse that you're talking about, we had a preliminary small session at my studio to record like source material that we could manipulate. And then even some of the sounds for the more traditional stuff, the thematic stuff, is not quite standard instrumentation either. It's been altered a bit. So yeah, it definitely, it's a blend of traditional with less traditional.
there's that sense of emptiness, that sense of space that has to be filled not only with silence, but even when you use acoustic instruments that are clearly, you know, a harp or something, that it may blend right into something electronic, or it may have an echo effect to, so you get a sense of you're in this vast expanse and people are gone. Because we don't see the rest of the world, I thought the music in some way has to tell us what the world is like. Does that make sense? And was that part of it?
Yeah, it does. Story-wise, the biggest overarching emotional component was there's this tremendous sense of loss that is taking place. So there's a, I guess, sort of a mournful quality to the thematic stuff that is playing. And it's slightly off, a little bit off kilter. I mean, there's a few ways that I did that. The main ways, like, I had a piano and detuned all the black notes on the piano by a semitone, so they were just a quarter tone sharp of the white notes, and so it gave a little bit of a off, you know, not quite settled sense when the melody is being played.
Reminded me just the like of Planet of the Apes, where it's familiar but it's unfamiliar. There's something, it almost has, Earth has been turned almost into like an alien landscape because of the coming of these things. Do you play, when you say you played with sounds, I have to assume the processing, in a way, that's part of writing the music. You take the sound, how yep. will I process it? Is it a combination of old school reverb, tube amps? How fun yep. was that, and how much experimenting did you get to do?
That's definitely fun, and that's definitely a part of the compositional process in a movie like this. It's not like it's you write the score and then you process it. I mean, it's actual, that is coming up with the raw material that is used in the compositional process, and so them was integral to the overall sound. I mean, there's the Monster Suite, for instance, which opens the CD, and you know, you hear a little bit of in the opening credits, but then you don't hear much until later on in the movie. It's all based on these manipulations of acoustical sounds. It's rhythmic, but it's supposed to give an identity for the alien, for the monster as well.
We've been speaking with Marco Beltrami, who's a composer for the new film A Quiet Place. Comes out this Friday. Don't miss it.
Was meinst du, was das hier geht, meine Junge? Die CD ist zu Ende? Ist ja nicht. Weißt du, was ich meine? Ist ja nicht. Warte mal auf, ich sag dir mal eins. Du drückst jetzt mal ein bisschen den Skip-Schalter, ne, an deinem CD-Player. Oder was weiß ich, Alter, wenn du eine Platte hast, dann drehst du dich um, Alter, und hörst dich nochmal von vorne, weißt du? Und genau so geht das mit der CD auch. Einmal Skip, rums, Alter, und dann bist du wieder vorne. Weißt du, was ich meine? Ja, oder was, Alter? Willst du widersprechen, Digga, oder was? Pass mal auf, Alter, du ziehst dir das jetzt ganz schwer rein, Digga. Sonst komm ich mal echt aus der Bock gekrabbelt, Alter, und presse den Lachs von Achter. Ja, was, Alter? Da guckst du aus der Wäsche, wa? Weiß Bescheid, ne? Peace.
Saunders.
Wow, DGM on Bowlface, a both, cinematic both score.
Cinematic score and rap music, you were with that?
Oh my God.
Were you with everything?
Mike.
Yes.
I am so impressed with this evening's morning.
You see, you like the diversity
I am
of Night
so
Shift.
Impressed.
We can shift gears. Yes. We can move around the planet. I was playing some of the best of. It was a premium we gave away. Maybe I'll offer it again in the next marathon that's coming up. I had the best of international hip hop.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was what I was playing to you. I played earlier some Japanese, then I played some German, and this was, Russian.
Yes.
Mr. Guest.
Yes.
Did you enjoy the music? Did you enjoy everything?
I enjoyed, yes.
So you like rap music too?
Yes, I do.
Did you find it interesting that Kendrick Lamar has won a Pulitzer?
Yeah,
it's an interesting time that the art form has been legitimized by all the conventions of European culture. Do you concur by it? You concur.
As a historian, who's been listening to music for the last 68 years, I can tell you.
How old are you?
68.
Get the hell out of here. No way.
Yes way.
No way. I don't buy it. No, you lie.
It is the truth. But I appreciate...
Who was the guy who was looking for the Fountain of Youth? That was Ponce de Leon?
Somewhere around there,
something like that. That's you.
He was the dude.
You found it.
I found it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway, the DGM, damn good music. Screen music, I think, has elevated
it Marco
to
Beltrami, yes.
Whole level and you know, of music making.
Can I say something about Quiet Place? And here's what I suggest. I really suggest you go see this movie while it's still in the theaters. An interesting thing happens. The premise of A Quiet Place is that aliens came, they wiped out three-quarters of the human population, but we learn that they're blind and they hunt by sound. So if you stay quiet, you can stay alive. And so this is a family that's learned to stay quiet, okay? And of course, at any time, you could knock something over and the aliens will find you. So what's interesting is when you see it with an audience, and I highly suggest going to see it on like a Friday night, Saturday night, the crowdest theater you can, the whole theater gets really quiet. Mm-hmm. They start kind of relating to the characters. Everybody's silent. You hear like coughs, and it's a really interesting phenomena of a movie going experience. And
what's the name of it?
It's called A Quiet Place.
Mm-hmm. I love
and
it.
And so the score is a big part of the sound. And when I interview the directors, and if we have time, I'll play a little bit of my interview with the writers, the screenwriters. When I interview the screenwriters, they talked about how they put some of the sound design in the screenplay and how difficult it was to actually sell this idea. So,
that being said,
and we played the rap music. Mr. Guest, you enjoyed Super Duper?
Super Duper was Super Duper.
Super Duper. Now, here is something that is not Super Duper.
Okay.
I listen to the radio late at night. I want to hear something that makes me feel right. I listen to Night Shift, Mike Byron, Chris Elena, and sometimes Joe. Night Shift, it's my favorite show. I listen to the radio late at night. I want to hear something that makes me feel right. I listen to Night Shift, Mike Byron, Chris Elena, and sometimes Joe. Night Shift, it's my favorite show.
There you go.
You are the master.
I did that
with
my iPhone.
That was not Super Duper. That was Hella Bella.
Gosh.
That's right. Night Shift.
Yeah.
That's the Night Shift rap.
I'm impressed.
Come on now.
You know you're Mike.
You were with this Byron
to the max.
There it is.
Hey, excuse me. listen to the this radio. Is called Night Shift. It's my favorite show. Right. Yeah. I listen to Night Shift, Mike Barnes, Elena, and sometimes Joe. Night Shift, it's my favorite show. This okay. is a, an app on the iPhone.
See, now, Mike.
You need an updated version.
I think every so often your music engages a new theme song. And this being 2018,
yes.
this is the new updated Nobel Poet Laureate.
Yes.
I can win
a Pulitzer with this. Thank you. Byron is clearly high.
Get it.
Byron, Elena, and Joe. It's my favorite show. When everything's feeling right, it's my favorite show. Night Shift, it's my favorite show. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena, and Joe. It's my favorite show. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena, and Joe. It's my favorite show. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena, and Joe. It's my
favorite show. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena,
and Joe. It only happens late at night when everything's feeling right. It's my favorite show. Night Shift, it's my favorite show. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena, and Joe. It's my favorite show. It only happens late at night when everything's feeling right. It's my favorite show. Night Shift, it's my favorite show. Night Shift, Mike, Byron, Elena, and Joe. It's my favorite show. So, Mr. Guest, you're shaking your head. What does that mean? Night
Shift. Well, I think you need like a little change up. I think you need a break.
All right, it's a 20-second. It's a 20-second. Okay, hold on.
I'm here with Sam Fell.
Alright, well, that's all that I get. That's it. Byron's with it.
Come on, that's it. It's my favorite show.
That's right. That's all I got to say. Byron is with it.
Byron, you are
creative.
Yes. You are behind.
What are you calling him an ass? Are you calling him an ass?
He needs credit.
Byron, you're a behind.
Credit on that. He's
behind.
She's
calling you a behind.
It's fine. He's creatively behind.
I'm the butt of every good joke, so there it is. But I'm chink.
Ooh, Byron. Ooh, she called you a behind. You remember that? Ooh, yeah. Ooh. You're going to get in trouble. Yeah,
right.
Mr. Guest called you a behind. Nice. I kick her ass.
It's my favorite show.
All right. So, yes. Mr. Guest has a piece of Life is Like Science Fiction. Byron, just in case you were worried.
I was worried.
Some new developments.
Yes. Uh-oh, a little Michael Jackson music.
Johns Hopkins performs Worlds. First, total penis transplantation.
Oh!
Total penis.
That's the name of the album.
That's the name of a group.
Total penis transplant. Go ahead, Mr.
Yes. Name of a group. So this was performed on a veteran who was wounded by an IED blast. And this is news from yesterday, or as some of us call it, earlier today. Johns Hopkins surgeons performed the first and most complex penis transplant ever. In late March. It's being reported in this article that the transplant took place in late March on a soldier who lost his genitals during a bomb blast in Afghanistan. Over the course of 14 hours, specialists transplanted a penis, a scrotum, and a part of the abdominal wall from a deceased donor onto the wounded soldier, Johns Hopkins announced Monday. The handful of similar transplants previously performed at hospitals in Massachusetts, South Africa, and China involved only a penis. The Hopkins doctors said the surgery appears so far to have gone smoothly and are optimistic the patient, who wishes to remain anonymous, will gain full function. It is our hope that such a life-changing transplant will allow him to regain urinary and sexual function and lead a normal life, said Dr. Richard Reddit, a professor of plastic and reconstructive surgery at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Doctors should know later this week when the patient is expected to be released whether he can urinate. It will take about 6 months to see if the patient can feel sensation and experience an erection. It will take that long for the nerves to grow in. In a statement released by Johns Hopkins, the patient said he already felt normal again. It's a real mind-boggling injury to suffer. It is not an easy one to accept, he said. When I first woke up, I felt finally more normal, with a level of confidence as well. Confidence like, finally, I'm okay now. Doctors have taken an interest in penile transplants as the nature of injuries soldiers suffer at war has changed. Some soldiers who lose lower limbs from mines and improvised explosive devices also experience loss of or damage to their genitals, injuries that the Johns Hopkins doctors said are hidden, but just as debilitating.
Penis.
From 2001 to 2013, about 1,367 male service members were placed on the Department of Defense Trauma Registry with so-called genitourinary injuries, which include injuries to the genitals. One of the first questions a soldier will ask after waking up from a severe injury is whether their genitals are intact.
Oh my.
Said Dr. Elspeth Cameron Ritchie, a retired Army psychiatrist and author of a book about intimacy and injury. Despite this, these injuries were stigmatized and, until recently, not talked about much. For many men, a lot of their sense of identity is also wound up in their sense of manhood, she said. Johns Hopkins doctors formed a team more than 5 years ago to study and prepare for a penile transplantation, studying blood flow to the penis and practicing on cadavers. They identified the patient of this article in 2012 and talked then about a reconstruction of the penis using skin from other parts of the body. While such a procedure is possible, wounded servicemen sometimes don't have enough good tissue to work with, and such reconstructed genitals could not achieve an erection, said Dr.
That's a good name for a man right there. Reconstructive genitals.
Constructed.
Oh my.
Yes. So, you know, there are obstacles to this kind of procedure.
Clearly.
Okay.
So this, you know, comes from the field of plastic and reconstructive surgery at the Johns Hopkins Medical School.
Say he's going to be almost fully functional.
Well, that is the
from the urinary
intention.
Standpoint and a sexual standpoint.
Yes, this is all the intention.
That's fantastic. Byron.
The yes. patient.
You
think Lorena Bobbitt would have still done it if she knew?
Oh, yes. Without a doubt. She was at your station. Okay.
The patient who was serving in Afghanistan when he was caught in an IED blast that also took his legs, decided to wait for a transplant, but it took time for the doctors to perfect the procedure and to find a match. The patient has a rare blood type, and the matching process is more involved than inner organ transplants. Doctors also have to account for factors such as age and skin tone for penis transplants, making the donor pool
skin tone too.
Talk to me. Hey. Hold on, wait.
That
because
I found
of the donor pool.
Yes.
Hold on a
donor
second.
Pool.
Hold on a second. Oh. So who's donating penises?
Wait a minute.
Who's donating
oh,
penises?
No.
What racial
oh,
group?
No.
Organ donors.
Wait, who? What racial
if you're
group?
A registered oh, organ
wait,
donor.
What racial group is dominating the penis donation?
Mike. Don't tell me.
No, I don't want. I want to know. It doesn't tell. Does it tell you? Keep what going.
Is,
please,
this
please
is
going.
Not a statistic that is included
yeah, know,
in this.
Wait
a
minute. I want to know.
Hold on. That
if
should be
know,
part
if
of somebody's
know,
evaluation.
Then you need to do some research.
No, that's
and a, you
if you got
to
a grant
a new
to do
article.
This, Mike. If you got a grant to do this, listen, wouldn't you make that part of your
you know I've,
evaluation?
No,
this is almost
no,
like
no, a, no. I would not. What I would do is do all this information she's giving out, and then I'd apply for another grant.
Ah, so okay, you would be so researching to collate, the anomaly.
Tyron, you know how to do info. This kind of
yes,
stuff?
Yes, I can write this grant.
Well,
this
you better, you better get this on it because easy. Someone on, is very on, curious on, here.
Well, I'm with it.
Yeah, call someone me up for consultation. I can help you get that grant.
Let the mystery guest finish, guys.
A team of 9 plastic surgeons and 2 urological surgeons.
A team? To yeah, put team. Your balls back
no, no,
together.
Not just no, your no, balls. No, no, no. Balls was this done
total
using...
Okay, okay, okay. Total. Total penis reconstruction.
Well, they're yes. including...
Thank you.
Team. I yes. Dr. Rudy Wells.
Okay. Well, surgeries are often...
We can make him
teams,
better than he was before.
But this is a team of 9 plastic surgeons. Better. 2 urological surgeons.
Stronger.
How many
and
millions?
They're performing the
faster.
How many millions was this for, project for? The new... Well, how many million dollar man?
In case you're
better.
Wondering...
The million dollar man
still had a small part of his own penis to attach to the new organ to ensure...
He had a small part of his old penis attached?
His own penis.
Wow. So it's like
to
still,
attach
still
to
yours.
The new organ to wow. ensure blood flow and
just,
sensation.
Just hold on. Pause for a second. Byron, can you imagine? Okay, you lose your penis and then you have somebody else's penis. Do you think you'd get used to that or what's your thought?
My thought is this. Plus yours is still part of it. So you can
so
actually
even if
go,
you're
hold
just
on,
a tip. You're
hold
just
on,
a tip.
Hold on. I can actually envision getting a 2-tone version.
Stop. Because of the donor pool.
The donor
all right,
pool.
I'm with you. I'm with you. All right. Go ahead. Stop. Okay, stop. Stop.
Me.
Stop. Just leave it right there.
No, no,
leave
no,
it right
no,
there.
No,
leave
no,
it right
no,
there.
No,
let her finish the story. Okay. Let her finish the story.
To ensure blood flow and sensation, surgeons also connected 3 arteries, 4 veins, and 2 nerves during the operation. The donor's testicles were not transplanted, so the patient won't be able to reproduce.
I stayed my
wait,
case.
Wait, 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 wait,
I
wait, 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 wait. They
case.
Put a penis on with no testicles?
They weren't,
well,
they weren't
or is it
granted,
like a sock with
the they weren't granted
rocks?
The money
what?
To create the testicles. They were only granted to
they
create.
Only got enough to
this
make
isn't
a
about
penis.
A grant, Byron. Well,
Byron
this
thinks
this
he's
is
everything about money. This is Byron.
Isn't about a grant.
It's well, about the grant. He forgot to ask for testicles.
This.
All right, so Byron, no, let her finish the story.
You're conflating your
yes,
fantasy.
You're conflating your fantasies, Byron.
With this new
I'm
going to
use that against you from now on. Byron,
the donor's
you're conflating your fantasies.
We're not transplanted, so he won't be able to reproduce.
Byron, stop conflating
doctors said the transplanting them raised ethical issues, such as whether the donor's genetic material might go to the patient's children. Well, that doesn't seem quite prohibitive to me, but ethically, I'm inserting some commentary there. Pardon me.
Stop conflating your fantasies, Byron.
Quote, we just felt there were too many unanswered ethical questions with that kind of transplant, said Dr. Damon Cooney, a Hopkins assistant professor of plastic and reconstructive surgery. The patient also was given an infusion of bone marrow from the donor, which allowed
but
doctors...
But no testicles, that's just, you know...
Can you calm down about the testicles? Try not to project here too much. The patient was also given an infusion of bone marrow from the donor, which allowed doctors...
Bone marrow.
...to reduce... The number of drugs he must take to keep his body from
not boner, Byron, bone marrow.
To just one pill twice a day. Bone marrow.
Keep going, Mr.
Wait a minute. Is this akin to a boner?
Just pay no attention.
The surgery is the latest breakthrough for the Hopkins Reconstructive Team. In 2013, the team performed a double arm transplant on Brendan Morocco, who lost both arms as well as his legs.
Double arm transplant.
He lost both arms as well as his legs in the Iraq War when the armored vehicle he was driving ran over a bomb in 2009. He was the first soldier of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars to lose all 4 limbs in combat and survive.
Damn.
Transplanting a penis raises a host of ethical questions about costs and necessity.
Costs and necessity. Say that to the guy who has lost his penis. He'll tell you about cost and necessity. All right, so...
Yes, he will.
Hold on, before you finish,
but
Mr. Guest, somebody's calling.
Yes, please.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Good morning.
Oh, wait. Hello, you're on the air.
And Night Shift crew?
Yes, who's this?
Louis from Brooklyn. I've called before.
Hello, Louis.
All right, Louis, what's going on?
Yes.
Hello, Louis.
I just want to make, I don't know, I guess it's like, how would you say? I guess it's like añando you guys a little bit.
All right.
The reason I'm saying that is because, you know, sometimes...
You said you're mad at us?
No. Regañando in Spanish is like, I'm like screaming on you guys.
Oh, okay.
The reason I'm saying that is because you guys are great at what you do.
Huh.
But every now and then, like, Mystery Guest is giving us all this great information.
Yeah, it is good, right?
Yeah, no, a lot of times you give, things that I'm just...
I give good info.
Grab me, you know? It's great. Some of it is funny, sometimes it's serious. No, all I'm saying is that sometimes the crew... interrupts a little too much. You
mean the supporting cast members?
Well, at the pot
yeah.
Fire,
thank
yeah.
you. So sometimes I just either need to write things down just so we can, you know, get into because the interruption sometimes, you know, gets in the way of things.
Well,
you know
who
what
was
saying?
Interrupting?
Byron.
Byron. Was that
well,
Byron?
It's all Byron. You know, it's all Byron.
Raising his hand?
Byron.
With the boner.
I played Byron. Basically, you called up to say, get rid of Byron. Show will be better. I'm with you.
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far. You guys are great at what you do.
Thank you, Louis.
I appreciate
it. Basically, what he's saying, he was really interested in what he was saying, and he wanted us to leave you alone and let you get your point.
I appreciate Louis. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
this is an interesting
You're the kind of listener I like, okay? Louis from Brooklyn.
You like the mystery guest?
Give the woman the
stage. Of course.
Stage.
She sounds great, sexy. Okay. You know, it grabs you.
All right.
You know? Sometimes
well,
I'm sure, you know, people are, you know, she has a beautiful voice, you know?
Right. You wonder what she looks like.
Of course.
Of
guarantee.
Course,
I mean,
right.
I've stopped by you guys at, I don't know if you guys are, you know, at Atlantic right now, but, you know, people definitely...
Somewhere above the three states.
That's
where
we're
usually
aligned outside.
She needs to finish up, you know, because sometimes, like I say, or most times, she's giving this great, and it's just too much interruption, guys.
All right. So let's let the mystery guest finish her story, please.
Yeah,
this is a fascinating
keep
story. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Love you guys.
Love you too.
The man.
Thank you. So yes, so you know, transplanting a penis, it raises a host of ethical questions about cost and necessity. Sometimes questions arise about whether such a procedure is life-saving, said Dr. Robert D. Trogue, director of the Harvard Center for Bioethics. Medicine is about improving the quality of people's lives, not just saving lives, Trogue said. When you hear that someone is contemplating suicide and is having a hard time with life, it is hard to say it's not really important. Johns Hopkins covered the cost of the surgery, which is expected to run around $300,000
to $400,000.
Well, that's 11 doctors over the course of 14 hours in surgery alone.
Penis retrieval is for the well-heeled.
Your Honor.
I don't know what you're interrupting.
Don't interrupt. You're interrupting.
Here.
All
right.
Don't listen to him.
Thank you. Yes, we'll tell that to your listeners. Medicine is about improving the quality of people's lives. As part of the transplant process, the donor's family must be told when certain body parts are donated, especially for newer transplants such as limbs, the face, or penis. The family of the donor released a statement addressed to the patient through New England Donor Services saying why it agreed to such a groundbreaking procedure. Quote, "We are all very proud that our loved one was able to help a young man that served his country," they said.
So in other words, like, he's got my son's penis.
Yes. To continue, "We are so thankful to say that our loved one would be proud and honored to know he provided such a special gift to you. As a family, we are very supportive of all the men and women who serve our country and grateful for the job you did for this nation. Please know that this is truly a heartfelt statement, as we have several veterans in the family. We hope you can return to better health very soon, and we continue to wish you a speedy recovery." Only a few, and that's end quote. Only a few penis implants implants have been performed around the world, but this is the most extensive, said Dr. Arthur Burnett, a professor in Hopkins Department of Urology. China tried once and failed in the 2000s. Doctors in South Africa performed transplants in 2014 and 2017. In 2016, doctors at Massachusetts General Hospital transplanted a penis without a scrotum on a man who lost his to cancer. Hopkins is assessing whether other people might qualify for the procedure. An internal Hopkins review board approved 60 penis transplants in 2016, but doctors said Monday they will not necessarily do that many.
There were 60 penis transplants in 2016?
There were 60 penis transplants approved in 2016.
Wow.
Approved, but not necessarily slated for surgery. Well, it doesn't say that in this paragraph, but if you allow me to continue, we can find out. Hopkins is only considering injured servicemen for the transplants, not transgender individuals or those born with defects. Dr. Andrew Kramer, a professor of surgery at the University of Maryland School of Medicine who performs penis implants and reconstructions, said transplants, if perfected, could help more wounded soldiers and others with severe genital problems. I hope this works, he said. That is a good end line, I have to say.
I will say, no penis is a severe genital problem.
I hope this works. I hope this works. I imagine every young boy has a moment in his youth
that if he goes
when he says to himself, yes. I hope this works. What is this? What is it? I hope this works. Whatever it is. I hope this works.
Here's a thought on that thing.
DGM.
Now, here, if there are 60 penis transplants approved every year, okay, potentially it could be more, but it's limited to the donor pool, right?
It's not necessarily limited to the donor pool.
What's it limited to?
Insurance coverage.
Okay, insurance coverage. Cost. Okay, all that. All right. So, but there's an opening there, because the opening is you could start growing penises in a petri dish, and if you could. You could start a company, PetriPenis.com, and you could grow penises for people.
Stop it right there.
PetriPenis.com. Okay, and you could just put in an order for your penis, okay?
And they grow it to size,
color, whatever you want. That's right.
The catalog custom open to you.
Penis, maybe CustomPenis.com is better. What do you think?
Well, I think that in a futuristic sense, any kind of tissue, organ generation, potential is interesting.
Listen, medically. They were growing ears on the back of rats. We covered that story here on the show.
Well, wasn't that sort of like a mishap?
No.
That was
no, they
that
were was purposely way, growing. Listen to me. I'll pull
like
up your...
That was like an organ.
That's old
are
technology.
Ears considered an organ? Ears are just a,
yes, no,
an appendage. What is an ear?
Not if you lose one, okay?
But it's not really an organ.
It's essential,
a,
okay?
In a way, though,
I'm put it in right
the,
now.
The external ear... Not
listen
the
to
inner
me.
Ear.
Listen to me. They grew ears on the back
outer
of
ear.
Rats. They have photos.
The outer ear. They I'll weren't growing it, the
I'll
inner ear. They were growing the outer ear.
Well, of course it's the outer ear.
Well, of course, but there's also an inner
if
ear.
If I had surgery on the inner ear, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to see it.
They could also grow the inner ear.
That's what well, makes
it. And it matters because you won't be able to hear yourself.
Thank you. The vibrations that your inner
and
ear
and you'll probably
picks up
stop talking.
Don't
sound.
Listen to Byron.
It's that way it works.
You'd probably talk a bit less if you couldn't
all right,
hear yourself.
Let's see who else is here.
Hello.
Yeah, who's this? Who's this?
Kenny from the Bronx.
What's your name? What's your name?
Kenny from the Bronx.
Kenny from the Bronx. What's
Kenny,
going on, Kenny?
Kenny. Cool what? Kenny from the Bronx.
Cool Kenny. Listen, everybody from the Bronx is cool. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
I'm with you. So are you enjoying the show so far?
Yo, like always. But I don't agree with the last caller.
Okay, talk to me. What do you don't agree about?
He feel it's too much information. Need to calm down. No, you don't. Because honestly, if how does he know if you're telling the truth or not? This could be a fake. This could be fake news. Why don't he? He should have Google and do his own information. Do his own homework.
Yeah,
right?
but what he's saying is that he wants to pay attention. To the
so
information being given.
I'm paying attention just like him, and I'm having fun.
But then he called
just like
up
I would
to
like to say,
up.
Just like you said, the mystery guest. Yeah, she sounds good. I've been down that road before. There was a cartoon Woody Woodpecker I had called Gorgeous Gal. He was in love with the chick voice over the phone, and when he got there, she was a big bird.
Well, you
right?
know
okay.
what?
Okay, all right. Now, that's a good one. That's a good
say,
one.
I might be a big bird
then,
too. So you...
And then the penis, as far as it being an implant, the penis is so sensitive. What about masturbation? You start masturbating,
listen.
you might raise the living dead.
Listen,
you might raise the other guy up. The other guy might get up.
But here's what's interesting.
Wow.
Like, you might masturbate, right,
wow.
at some of the DNA
that
mixes,
physical.
And then you have memories of a woman you were never with.
How about this?
Because there's
about
a secret
spot.
Brain.
Like, maybe you get a gay man's penis, and all of a sudden...
A secret brain in the penis.
Remember the saying that if you do
that,
your palms will be hairy?
Yes.
Maybe you masturbate.
That happened to Byron. That happened to Byron.
See,
I think you're onto something.
All right, listen, I'm looking at these photos
either
of the mouse, of the rat with the ear growing on its back. It's really, this rat is not happy. I just want to say this rat is not happy. It's got an ear on its back. There are tons of them. I'm going to turn it around. You cannot unsee this. I'm just going to warn you. You cannot unsee the multiplicity of rats with ears. There's one rat here that's got like a Vulcan ear. Okay, I'm going to put this on the Night Shift page.
A Vulcan.
Okay,
just put in, there it is. Ear grown on back of rat. That's all you have to do. Put that in Google. And you'll,
how about that?
Are these special rats that don't have fur?
No, these are special rats that they are torturing.
How about this one? How about if they do the implants like you said with the rats and all of a sudden the ears are everywhere? How about if you put a penis to one of their legs? They got their legs blown off and you do an implant. Would those grow like arms and legs?
You mean like you could have like a penis farm?
Like a unit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Penis
pretty much.
Farm.
Yeah, bingo. Yeah.
I could do a whole movie with this concept.
A big horned unirat.
Invasion of the penis snatchers. How about that?
That's right. That's right. That's when people try to steal your crop. You're tuned to Listen Sponsored Radio. WBAI. The name of the show. The feeling you're having.
Nice.
Real life.
Nice.
Yeah, like science.
Cooper master plan, cause I'm the super duper. Mythical, yet physical, so
Shiver some flavor, flow down to your embryo. My style, Valdi and Wow. Swing it up, hit it up, live it up.
Hey, you people.
What are you saying there? What?
Ken? Yeah.
What? What are you going to say?
Did you look at the...
Are you talking to somebody else? Are you talking to somebody else there?
Night shift, yeah. I'm working, so, you know, I gotta...
Oh, all right, you're out there working.
I apologize for that, but... Work it. Yeah, well, you know, good music.
All right. Well, Byron's got a story for you. Byron's got something interesting to tell you.
I would love to hear Byron's story. I wanted to go to Byron's play, but I can't make it because I'm working.
It was
that's all right.
Great
that's right. It was great. Byron had a great time.
God, I'll talk about
standing
it later.
Ovation.
Yes, it was.
Standing
over 300 people.
There it is. Byron Saunders.
All right. Now you could drink this man's frostbitten, amputated toes in a cocktail. Hold the phone, Louise. Wait a minute. You could drink this man's frostbitten, amputated toes in a cocktail? Are you kidding me, Mike Sargent?
Byron, life is like science fiction. The fact that there's a story with this title, Byron, to me, that's everything. Go ahead, read the title. Read your title one more time, just for the mystery guest.
All right. Okay. This is like just a totally absurd. All right. After losing three toes to frostbite, can I repeat that one?
Yes.
After
you want to know where did he hang out?
Yeah, where does he hang out after losing three toes to frostbite? A recent participant in one of the coldest long distance races on Earth reached a toe tally. Bizarre decision for what to do with the detached digits. Wait a minute. You saw, unfortunately, along the trail of the race, you were picking up toes. You see toes on the path.
Who's?
And I'm trying to figure this out. So it ends up.
Foot right, they're running.
Right there. Yes. Okay. So they're picking up these detached digits along the pathway. And during the race, which took place in February in the Canadian Yukon, British competitor Nick Griffiths suffered frostbite so severe that three of his toes had to be amputated. Now, rather than simply disposing of the toes, he decided to donate them to a remote Canadian bar for use in a signature drink known as the Sour Toe Cocktail. This is the Sour Toe Cocktail.
A savage!
Which famously includes
toes, yes. The newt's pie,
the sour toe cocktail.
It's worse than the air or the back of the rat.
Which famously includes a dehydrated human toe.
Dehydrated toe?
According to the Toronto Star, and would you drink this mummified toe cocktail? Of course, there would be another sponsor to this program.
Expensive too, right?
You know what? They got a grant to do this stuff. It all began with Griffiths entered the 483 kilometers division of the Yukon Arctic Ultra, which is a punishing race across frozen wilderness that takes place along the Yukon Quest Trail. Now, participants race on foot, sleds, and mountain bikes. And temperatures can drop below minus 58 degrees Fahrenheit, which is minus 50 degrees Celsius.
Now, according to the races, brain cells.
Yeah, minus brain cells. You got that right. Frozen in the brain. All right. Anyway, what has happened that after 30 hours on the trail with temperatures measured at below minus 40 degrees.
Byron's making coffee music.
F.
What's on Fahrenheit?
Minus 40 degrees.
Making coffee.
Celsius.
Griffiths.
Dropped out with evidence of, now check this out, he dropped out of the race with evidence of frostbite on several extremities, but the damage was most severe in his left foot. Wow. Griffiths got the idea to donate his toes while recuperating in a Canadian hospital.
Idea.
Now let me just say something about this stage.
You know,
this, while he was there, they were giving him some of the best hallucinogenic drugs you could possibly have.
This is California.
I don't feel nothing in my toes.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna donate my toes.
You keep trying to tickle my toes, and I keep looking down there, and I don't see my toes.
Fine, finish.
See, that's how stupid this.
Fine. No, that's not stupid. It's what's stupid is the people who buy it. So go ahead.
All right. Griffiths got the idea to donate his toes while recuperating in a Canadian hospital when a nurse showed him video footage, oh, that's cute, of her quaffing a drink containing a preserved human toe.
What bar is this?
Served at a bar called the Sourdough Saloon.
That's nasty.
In the Yukon Territory. Now, Griffiths... Nasty. Told the star after hearing her story, he decided to contact the bar staff with the offer of three newly detached toes. Excuse me. Hey, excuse me, bartender. Yes. I got three terrific toes here. Would you like to purchase these? This is hot on the market.
Keep going, please. Okay.
See, that's how this is. This is they're peddling toes.
By the way, as I was clicking through the mouse with the ear on the back, I was trying to put this on the Night Shift page. I got to a page that has, this is from 2014, Designer Vaginas and Other Medical Innovations.
Oh, no.
And they have designer vaginas. They have photos of the designer
vaginas.
No. So, designer
vagina.
This
is equal to the penis guys and the vagina guys.
It's a good name for a band. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Anyway. Griffiths bemused.
Business
card. Surgeon provided him with the amputated toes and vials of medical grade alcohol.
He got his toes back in alcohol and then donated it to a bar.
They were
that is called, some horrifying weirdness.
They were called pickled pig toes.
Pickled. Just what? Go ahead. Just go ahead. Fine. Just don't. Oh, don't.
You've
don't
heard of pickled pig feet, right? Pickled
pig feet, pickled feet. Finish the story. Editorialize after. Pickled. Please.
Special.
Okay. For decades, the saloon has offered a sour toe cocktail to intrepid
sour toe imbibers. What is that? Yeah. That's horrifying.
Well, they do other toes.
Sour toes.
They, listen, they got human toes. They got pig toes. They go, well, we call those pig feet.
Byron, read
we
it. Got, read. Are you reading this or are you making this up?
Hey, listen, you think about this for a second.
No, you're making this up.
No, I'm not.
Just read to me what it says. I want to know what it says.
All right. Well, when you hear the rest of the story, you'll see what I'm saying.
I'm listening. I'm listening.
Anyway, for decades, the saloon has offered its sour toe cocktail to intrepid imbibers, a tradition launched in 1973 using a toe that allegedly once belonged to a famous Canadian bootlegger. Now, patrons arrange to drink the cocktail by appointment and do so under the close supervision of a toe captain.
Now, that's something to put on your resume.
I am a toe captain.
Somebody wake me up. I'm a toe captain.
I hope you have a good...
Bring in the toe captain. She's ready to drink.
The official toe...
Toe captain?
Check this out.
This is mystery guest. With a toe captain. Mystery guest is the toe captain.
Yes, with a toe captain.
Excuse me.
You have to know.
I deny that.
Hello.
With an official toe captain, there has to be an official toe wrangler.
Stop! It's the person who hands you the toe.
Who ensures
stop!
Close
toe wrangler. It's like, they're like, yes, everybody's working. We got a toe wrangler. We got a toe captain. Fully staffed.
So a toe wrangler ensures not
feel
only...
Feel free to tip the toe captain or the toe wrangler.
That yes, drinkers touch...
If you tip the toe captain, he'll give 15% to the toe
this
wrangler.
Quietly walk out of the bar.
Well, that's good.
And then run
exactly. For the hills. Exactly. Exactly. He's like, you want the sour toe? Hold on. Who are these two? Well, this is the toe wrangler and the toe captain. They're here to administer your drink. Come in the back.
Now, the official toe wrangler ensures not only that drinkers touch the toe with their lips.
Oh! You must touch the toe with your lips.
Some kind of...
I am the captain, and I say...
Is this some kind of...
You must touch that toe with your lips.
A requirement...
Do not order this drink.
A requirement for receiving an official certificate from the bar...
You get a certificate after drinking it?
For consuming the cocktail.
What country is this?
Oh, this is better than the worm in the bottle of tequila. But also, I mean, you could do toes. Check this out. But also that they neither steal nor swallow the toe.
Oh.
Which has happened more than once.
Stop! Some people swallow the toe.
They get so stupid
drunk. Then the toe captain goes into action.
Excuse me, he's got a toe down his throat. What do we do?
Stop. And then the toe captain.
The toe captain goes
sprang into action.
Anyway.
Heimlich!
But also that they neither steal nor swallow the toe, which has happened on more than one once.
And they neither what?
Swallowed the
toe. What's the first word?
But also they neither steal.
Oh, steal. So people steal the toe.
Steal
the toe. You're drinking it, and then you just kind of snatch it out as you're drinking. Okay.
Yeah.
You cannot steal the toe.
Yeah.
And if you drink it, where they make you throw it up right there? Like, what happens? I want to know.
That's part of the requirement for receiving an official certificate from the bar.
Of a spit.
You gotta regurgitate it before you get the certificate.
Right. So now,
and if you don't regurgitate it, then what?
A little bit of a spit.
The cocktail must contain.
Well, that depends if it goes through.
Check this out. Here,
you got to bring it back in a different way.
Here are the ingredients of the cocktail.
Sipping slowly.
Well, no. Here's the ingredients that make you go crazy. The cocktail must contain a minimum of 1 ounce of alcohol.
Of course,
as they say, and of course, one
hallucinogen
toe. Other than that,
one human toe. Like they keep putting the same toe. They rotate
the toe.
So stop! Oh my God!
It's called
the same toe. Other people. Hold on a second.
It's like the
Mr.
worm
Bronx.
And the tequila.
Who? Now, would you?
Hello?
Yeah. How much would they have to pay you to drink the toe?
No, we don't do that. There's no fear factor here. There's no price. Can't do that. Sorry.
Thank you. Hello. Exactly. Thank you.
But I would like to say that name would sound like they give that drink a name like Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, exactly. Toe Jam and Earl. That's the name of the movie. Be Toe Jam and Earl.
How about this one?
Toe Jam Football. We play Toe Jam Football.
We're Toe Jamming.
Stop. They ran a worm with tequilas, and they had to decide to start chopping people's toes off.
That's right.
And I think that's how that happened.
About calling.
So, anyway, this is what they say. This is what they say.
Bottle of alcohol.
Okay, well, this is what they say in the
Don't interrupt it.
That's right. This is what they're saying in the laboratory. The cocktail must contain a minimum of 1 ounce of alcohol and, of course, one human toe. Other than that, the drink's contents are up to the drinker, though the sour toe experience often involves a shot of a local beverage known as Yukon Jack, which is 80-proof liquor blended with Canadian whiskey, baby.
What does this have to do with Toe Jam Football?
What?
They toe jamming. They toe jamming, my brother. They toe jamming. It's 80-proof liquor blended with Canadian whiskey and honey, according to the Sourdough Cocktail Club. Now, they got even a website, the Sourdough Cocktail Club website. Now, more than 100,000 people have sampled the sour toe, and in the decade since,
1,000?
Over 100,000.
That's ridiculous. How many humans
are
this
stupid?
Are you
sure this isn't just some kind of
the hell?
These people were just toe jamming.
100,000 people have drank a drink that had a frozen dead toe in it. Because it was the toe of this skier or whatever the heck he was. Who cares who he was?
Because
I wouldn't drink it if it... It's sacrilegious to say. But would you drink it if it were Jesus Christ's toe? Would you drink the Jesus Christ's toe? Jesus came back and froze his toes and put it in a drink. Would you drink it?
When you go...
It was the last
would you drink the
alcohol.
Jesus toe
When you
cocktail.
Decide you're gonna go toe jam, make sure your toes are jamming when you pick them up. You don't want no stage dried.
Did you say space dried?
No, stay dry.
Oh, stay dry.
Stay, you want
what's a stay dry toe?
Well, you want your jam and toes to be moist.
Industrial society.
You don't want a jam and toe that's dried out.
Industrial society.
You're too delicious, Martin.
A barrel of grapes would be danced upon by the whole village.
99.5.
In bare feet.
The name of the show.
This is.
We're toe jamming. Just for you. Night show.
This is a different. I'm an animal. I'm a cord of the world. This is so. You had him. A kinshi.
Amazing D.
Were you with that? Yeah.
Now, there's an anecdote to the story that I was reading
please,
today,
please
which
finish.
Is really kind of funny. Okay, now, so we understood that there were more than 100,000 people have sampled the sour toe. And in the decades since the grizzly drink was first poured, more than 10 toes have been acquired by the saloon operators. So in the Toes Almanac. There are 10 toes that are like about the
Toes Almanac.
The Toes, of course, there has to be a Toes Almanac.
Did they say that, or are you making this up?
No, I'm making this up, but this has to be one because they're creating history. Because they say, but preserved toes are stored in salt when they're not floating in a cocktail. But they don't last forever, and the saloon.
Wait.
Yes, you heard me right.
Is that like the two ways of preserving
the toes?
When they're floating in a cocktail, and then the regular way.
They put it in
I'm
salt.
I'm with that. Okay.
You
okay.
can have it with salt.
Mr. Guest, did you know not. This? Did you know this? Or you learned this watching the show?
Well, I've been watching the show for
listening to the show.
For about an hour and a half, or 2 hours and a half.
So the...
And...
Yes.
Yeah, I learned a few things.
About toe jamming. Anyway, but they don't last forever, and the saloon depends on generous donations. Did you know there was a donation?
Wasn't that a Janet Jackson album?
Can I do a Kickstarter to...
To start a donation?
To wrap up the story and move on to...
Thank you. Anyway, so... such as Griffiths, to keep the sour toe cocktail available for the curious and the brave. Johnny Clint Kramer, the Sourdough Saloon bar manager, told the Star. So there you have it. We always prefer big toes. They're the meatiest, Klein Kramer said. So there you have it. 100,000 toes. A lot of toe jam. Why do people get grants? How do people get grants to do that, Mike? I'm trying to figure this one out. The insanity of doing a study on this in that manner. Yo, Mike, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you think in the Yukon Valley, where all this toe research is ongoing, that someone is unscrupulously selling insurance to lost toes as a quick, rich scheme?
Selling insurance to lost toes is a get-rich scheme. That's a really weird...
It is.
...independent film right there.
It is, but think about it. Somebody out there is going to catch on to the notoriety that if you're donating toes that are in the 10-toe Hall of Fame, then you could be the 11th, 12th, or 13th toe close to the source of all toes, and I can sell you some insurance so that I can guarantee that if you lose your three toes...
The source of all toes.
...we will be able to make sure you get
rich.
Did
you say the source of all toes?
Yes, I did.
Mr. Guest, do you have any idea what he's talking about?
The... Toe rot?
Toe jamming, baby. This is what we call toe jamming. We got insurance policies.
Scientific toe rot.
The toe rot, that's right.
Toe rot.
Toe rot.
So did you know that your body and everything around you will soon let you pay for stuff? Amazon, MasterCard, and others are developing new ways for you to spend, including cashierless stores and scanning the veins in your thumb.
Scanning the veins in your thumb, Byron.
Yes. So
this is what do you think of that, Byron? You're 68. You lived. You walked the earth for a minute.
I, Your Honor, I'd like to approach the bench because I've run up a I've run up a debt on my thumb account, which I really had no intention. But so every time I went through, I gave a thumbs
I'm
up and they took
donate
it,
this and they thumb it onto my to that little tablet. That little thumb bar. This story is part of the Follow Your Money, or Follow the Money, a look at how digital cash is changing the way we save, shop, and work. Think about every little thing you do when you walk into a store and pay for something. You stand in a line, put out your wallet, and withdraw your credit card. You chat the cashier as you use the card reader, then enter your PIN or sign your name before cramming away your card.
Now, I can't afford any of this.
Paper receipt if you bother to collect
it. I feel compelled.
Depending on how much of a rush you're in and how many packages you have, these can all be seen as pain points.
Further in debt.
Pain points in the payment process.
I didn't come here to buy anything.
Payment, not repayment, but pain points in the payment process.
I was just looking.
I admit.
More like the promised payment process.
I admit that
but
I was playing
one
with my monitor, with my thumb, and y'all just
one tech is knocking down these pain points. A primary example is the ever-increasing number of ways to pay using alternatives to cash and cards. If you believe the hype, payments will soon be made with anything and everything, from our phones and watches to our fridges and cars and even the veins in our hands. The benefit of this is to... The benefit of this is twofold. You'll have more payment choices, and the act of paying will at times become so seamless it will fade into the background. Using the connected devices, biometrics, and store... Using new connected devices, biometrics, and store formats...
Go into debt effortlessly.
Such as Amazon Go, your devices and even the environment around you will handle payments for you. It should make shopping faster, more convenient, and more secure.
Well, a credit standing Go.
A downside? It may become so easy to spend money that you'll fritter away that paycheck realizing it. And that may be what retailers are hoping you do.
Now, let me just pause you for a second, Byron. I have a friend who believes that college and higher education is a debt slavery scam. What are your thoughts on the notion of debt slavery and how we are all slaves to debt, except for a small percentage? What are your thoughts on the whole concept of debt slavery? And you know, this is making the assumption that you agree with the concept of it. And what are your thoughts on it?
I don't agree with the concept of debt slavery, but I do understand.
You don't think there is such a thing?
I didn't say that. I believe that it exists.
I didn't say agree that like we should be in it.
But the concept of I just will not buy into because it implies slavery in an economic concept that is like both abhorrent to my sensibilities. And there is a better way to make money than to try to enslave and put people in bondage. That concept is dead. And it's so dead because...
It's not dead. It's alive and well, dude.
No, I'm demanding and putting it to its death.
No, it's alive and well.
Did you hear what I just said?
I know. I heard you, but you borrowed Saunders. And it's alive and well, Byron.
Yes, and it's...
Alive.
Well, it is an evil. It is an evil that must be...
Healthy.
No, it's not
growing.
Healthy.
Yes,
there's
it
nothing
is
healthy about.
No, no. Listen,
that
it is unhealthy. I agree with that. But it is
about that system
in its existence.
It exceeds the boundaries of being able to be humane, because ultimately, yes, you need a job, you want to work, but you don't treat people like slaves. And if you continue to treat people like
slaves, are slaves, Brian.
No, excuse me.
They are.
If you continue to treat people like slaves, there will be an insurrection, because nobody
that was the
wants
worst Star
to be
Trek
a
film,
slave.
By the way.
Period. At some point, there will be a revolution. So why you keep working to the revolution when you could actually work towards peace at the time that you have the power?
And you could work for
Biden. Opposed to abusing your power to enslave people.
Don't you have a Twitter, Byron?
Occasionally.
What is it?
Moments of Truth.
That's the name of your Twitter? Stop.
No,
is it Moments of Truth? That is not your Twitter.
Byron
C. Saunders.
I give Moments of Truth.
I know you do, but you have a Facebook. How can people find you on Facebook?
By BCS Experience.
That's your public name?
Yes.
Is that your public? BCS Experience. Find the BCS Experience.
Yes,
we should create a Facebook page for the Mystery Guest.
Now, it is the BCS Experience: History, Arts, Culture, Politics, and Review and Discussion.
Yes,
but if you put in BCS History, see, my show, my page is the new...
When you put in BCS History, what do we get?
You get my BCS History page is the new Underground Railroad Express.
Of information.
I am informing and...
Are you freeing minds? Brian?
All aboard to freedom and to freedom land. Yes,
Brian,
sir. So the BCS Experience. Come experience it. It's on Facebook.
Right. Imagine that Byron's with you every day.
Every day. I post.
That's the Byron Experience.
I post
BCS
Black
Experience.
I post African American and African diaspora history on my page every single day.
Of course
day
you do, Byron.
That
even in your
page.
Even in your tweets. Hello.
So
you're still
constant.
Here? Are you still here?
Hello.
I'm still here.
Still hanging in.
Yes. So, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at some old Night Shift themes, because we've been doing this show for like 20 years now. It's
a moment.
A little scary.
In time.
And one of the there were two themes that stood out to me that I would like to bring back, because they never really get old. One is your greatest achievement and your greatest failure.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mr. Guest.
Wow.
Yep.
Are you willing to reveal your greatest achievement in your minds thus far, and your most egregious failure?
In my mind?
No. In reality. Now, if you don't want to, because you're a mystery guest, I understand. We can ask our caller, but I'm wondering.
Well, maybe the achievements of the mind are the greatest achievements
of
all.
That's your call. What is your greatest achievement? What is your greatest achievement? What do you consider to be your greatest achievement?
My greatest achievement.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was about to jump into the segment on biometrics, but let me put
this
down.
No, I want you to do that.
But
just
no,
answer
I mean,
that question.
You know, I mean, this is an interesting thing.
Don't
but, you know, like,
close it.
People can just Google that and the biometrics.
No, I
want to.
You're
going to
read that. Don't think
it.
We got plenty of time. It's only 2:30. It's only 2:30.
You know, but yeah, I mean, like, you know, that's a long article. We already did the whole.
Listen to me.
A long
you're
article.
You're still going to read it. I'm just telling you.
Thank you, Byron. But you know, we did the long article thing, so I think maybe we should pick another article that's a little more interesting. But my greatest achievement or accomplishment was, what was that? I forget. I guess you know, just kind of being here and now is I think, you know, if I get that every once in a while, I feel like that's the biggest achievement. Because, you know, the things that you've done, you know, maybe you get a trophy or something like that, or maybe you get an accolade, or, you know, maybe people like, you know, remember that after a year or a couple months or a week passes, and, you know, but being where you are and being content with who you are and being happy, if I ever get that, you know, once in a while, I feel like that's a big achievement. Because for me, you know, the kind of routine of the reality of, you know, daily living is a bit of a, you know, sometimes the question of what have I ever accomplished or what am I best, you know, that's, you know, I feel so removed from any sense of accomplishment that if I can kind of go full circle and feel content to be where I am. For me, that is the biggest achievement. So to not answer your question, but answer your question, if I can feel content where I am and happy for like a moment right here and right now, then that to me is, you know, yes, I could, you know, depending, you know, on whether I'm asked the pointed question or not, I could probably reminisce about something I did and I liked or something I felt good about. But for me, if I'm feeling good where I am, then that in itself is a big accomplishment.
Rhythm.
Yes, I want to give a really beautiful shout out to the cast of Father's Day, Yvette Heiliger's piece, which did a concert reading last night at Harlem Hospital. This is did you know, Mike, that this was Sexual Abuse Awareness Month as well as Child Abuse Awareness Month? And this play dealt with child abuse and really heinous crimes. But at the play written by Yvette Heiliger, I had an extraordinary class that did a reading last night in the Harlem Hospital Auditorium for about 250 people.
That's right, and I couldn't believe
it. It was really beautiful. And it was a reading, and the story, and I'd like to give a shout out to my cast because they were extraordinary. That was Michelle Quintero, Lauren Bryant, 14-year-old, really beautiful young actress.
That's right.
Very all talented folks. Dominic Marcus, Johnny May, and Jean Lauren Smith, along with Denise Dumain as my stage manager and my narrator. And they really gave a powerful performance about a play. One that, you know, I have said I directed it back in 1989-90 that starred Kerry Washington as a young 11-year-old star. So it's a very sensitive play. But tonight, my people, my cast, did an extraordinary job. And I just want to say thank you to all the people who came out, because this is the month where we really try to address the issues of child abuse, domestic violence abuse. And if we can, and do stories that reveal the truths and the sadness, because it is about redemption and it is about curing a disease, because everybody's a victim.
I have thoughts on this, big time.
Yes. Thoughts.
And are you saying that April is the month of sexual abuse?
Yeah. As a victims? As a standout.
How exactly is it? Is it phrased or characterized, well, categorized? April,
they pick a month and then they try to proclaim it their month of cause.
I think that's good, because you know it kind of gives people who care about the theme and who care about the issue, you know, it's like a returning annual awareness, right? And it's like a you know. Not everybody can dedicate their daily life to, you know, voicing awareness, raising awareness. So, you know, if this is something that touches you, you know, or that has touched you inappropriately, or whatever the case is in any given month and any given issue, then, you know, even if you can't dedicate your life to it, once a year, maybe for an entire month or for, you know, part of, you know, because other people are, I think that makes sense for organizational reasons. And I think the whole kind of, you know, people are getting together and activists and you know, people specific interests are coming together.
Yvette Heiliger has written an extraordinary play.
Continue. Yes, it sounds fascinating.
It really is. Yeah. And she really brilliantly crafts a wonderful story about revelations, pain, hurt, and redemption. And anyway, I want to thank the people who came, because there were practitioners of the medical arts and health industry there, in addition to the Harlem Arts Community Council, because it was part of the Harlem Arts Alliance regular meeting, and we performed right after the meeting. So it was really a wonderful turnout, and the people to tell the stories, get them told. But that's my cast were marvelous. Thank you, Yvette Heiliger. Thank you, Mike Sargent, for allowing me to do a shout out to an issue that I really have a lot of concerns about.
Periods in one's life when just the thought of being alone is really devastating. However, being alone does not necessarily mean being lonely. Better alone building a new and meaningful life than lonely living with someone with whom there is no trust, no understanding, no communication, no love, just devastating.
DGM, Byron.
DGM. My goodness,
You're with it. You're with it, Byron.
I'm with it all the way, bro.
Mr. Gisler, I saw her. She was singing along. She was clapping to the lyrics. Did you see that, Byron?
Yes. Yeah. See, that's the kind of music you want to wake up to when you got to get your body in gear. And
like, listen, I'm with it.
Baby.
I've ridden to this. Are you enjoying Mr. Guest?
DJ.
I'm enjoying.
All right, so you have a story.
Oh, is that what this is?
This is the story music.
This mysterious story. The mystery story of the night. This mysterious marijuana syndrome is relieved by hot showers. A mysterious vomiting condition tied to marijuana use has an even stranger antidote: hot showers.
That's interesting. Now, what is causing marijuana to have this effect? Some chemicals that they're injecting
into it.
I want to hear about this. Talk to me.
The condition, first of all, called cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome.
Cannabinoid hyperemesis?
I believe that is what it is called, as pronounced, is characterized by recurring bouts of severe nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pain in heavy marijuana users who often take hot showers to relieve their symptoms. The condition was first recognized in 2004.
So essentially they're self-medicating by taking hot showers.
Well, they might also be self-medicating by...
Self-medicating.
Yeah.
Yes.
U.S. doctors have reported seeing this condition more frequently in recent years, according to the New York Times. Indeed, a recent study of heavy marijuana users who smoked at least 20 days per month in New York found that about one-third of users reported symptoms consistent with cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, meaning they experienced nausea and vomiting that was relieved by hot showers.
So they smoked so much pot that they got sick to their stomachs and had to take a hot shower to feel better.
Meaning hot showers acted as a therapy for the symptoms. If the results were extrapolated to the entire country, an estimated 2.7 million Americans could suffer from cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome or a similar condition, the researchers said. Even so, it's unclear if these results can be extrapolated to other areas. But what causes this condition, and why would hot showers relieve people's symptoms? Doctors can't answer either of those questions. And any attempts to explain exactly what's going on are, quote, pretty hypothetical, unquote, said Dr. Kenan Herd, a toxicologist at UC Health's University of Colorado Hospital in Aurora, who has studied cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. But doctors do know that long-term use of drugs can result in changes in the brain and the nervous system, Hurd said. In addition, doctors know that endogenous cannabinoids, compounds in the body similar to those found in marijuana, are integral to the body's pain system, Hurd said. So one idea is that long-term stimulation from the ingredient in marijuana that produces a high tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, alters the body's pain system in a way that results in the symptoms of cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome. Something in the pain system is disturbed by having THC around all the time, Hurd told Live Science. This article is from livescience.com, by the way. If this is the case, hot showers may help to relieve symptoms because the stimulation from the hot body... Excuse me. That was a Freudian slip. Stimulation from the hot water produces a different sensory signal that distracts the body from the pain signal. Your body can only process so many signals at once, Hurd said. Sort of like so many words. Still, this remains a hypothesis, and doctors don't know why some marijuana users develop this condition while others do not. Indeed, medical marijuana is sometimes prescribed to relieve nausea and vomiting in cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy. Hurd said that when he first heard of this condition about 15 years ago, he was skeptical that it was a real condition. He thought to himself, quote, really? You can feel sick and vomit when you're using this antidote to nausea and vomiting? But now, he's no longer skeptical, and the condition is something we see in our ER several times a week, if not on a daily basis. The condition is not life-threatening, necessarily, I would assume, but it is certainly disabling. Patients may go to the ER 3 to 4 times a week, or need to stay home to shower often. In 2010, researchers found that the average patient with cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome went to the emergency room 7 times and was given a mistaken diagnosis 3 times before being diagnosed with their condition. But there is a cure for the condition, quitting marijuana. In a 2017 review study, Hurd's colleagues found that 97% of people with cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome stopped experiencing the symptoms after they stopped smoking marijuana.
Well, duh.
But there are those cannabinoids in the body. What were they called early on in the article?
Ray, it's Ray from the Bronx, right? Are you still there?
No,
I'm here.
Kenny, right?
Kenny, is it Kenny? Kenny.
Yep.
Sorry, Kenny.
I'm still here. I'm still here with the last few minutes of the show.
Last few minutes of the show. Any thoughts there, Kenny?
Huh?
Any thoughts on all of it?
Have you been showering? Are you? Is that the hot water?
Are you worried about spending money through your veins?
Well, it was new that Ray said you shouldn't shower every day.
Well, yeah. If you're drawn to a hot shower, you might be smoking marijuana.
That's right. If you do the shot hot shower, then you can continue smoking. Basically. Mm.
But there are... Sorry to interrupt, Kenny, but there are these endogenous cannabinoids or I think it's pronounced endogenous, E-N-D-O-G-E-N-O-U-S, endogenous cannabinoids that are, they're compounds that the body makes, and they're a lot like the compounds and chemicals found in marijuana. and your body just makes them naturally. So maybe, I don't know, what does that mean? If you have them in your body, but if you stop smoking, maybe you won't have the nausea and vomiting. That's so, it just seems so, this is the world we've made.
That was the kind of world we've made.
Wow. Wow.
To smoke or not to smoke? That is the question.
So, Kenny, I have a question before you, before we go, because we're about to go. We got 5 minutes left. So how long have you been listening to the show, Kenny?
Forever.
Stop.
Ever and ever. Endeavor and ever and ever and ever.
Yes. Since how old were you when you started listening?
For years, for some years now, about 4 or 5 years now.
Oh, nice. All right, nice. I hear you. And why do you listen? Yeah. That's my question to you.
Question of the moment.
Why do you listen? What is it that you like about the show? What works for you? How does it connect with you? How is it that you're a freak?
Well, freak. Okay. I thought that when I first was listening, I was listening because of the film critique.
Right,
and then the music. Of course, the music. So you know, there's no denying that. You always got the hot music going on. Then you got the hot mystery guest. I'll give her that one. I'll give her a hot shower.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give her the gorgeous gal.
Gorgeous gal.
I could whisper you into a state of ecstasy. I've been told by listeners.
Go ahead, Kenny.
And just everything in the whole is a real great show. And it's on for 3 hours for crying out loud. 3 hours. 3 freaking hours.
I'm with you. You can get in there. You can get in the groove and lift. You may, the first 45 minutes, you may not be with us. But about 45 minutes in,
you will be absorbed.
Time slows down.
Night shift.
But until next week.
Yes.
Night shift.
Night shift.
Where life is like science fiction.
Life
is my favorite show.
Good night.
Good night,
Mr. Bigger. Good night, Mike Sargent.
All right.
Good night, Byron.
Yeah.
Where's Byron? Byron's still
here? Byron's still here. Byron's awake. He's alive.
It's my favorite
Byron
show.
Sargent.
He's alive.
Until
next week.
It's my favorite show. We love you. It's my favorite show. Night Show.
Byron Saunders.
Night Show.
Mr. Guest. See? You didn't know you had friends.
Mr. Host.
The name of the show.
Night Show.
We're on Mondays, midnight till 3 a.m. You can follow us on the web or on the internet or online, whatever you call it, whatever it's called. Lifeislikesciencefiction.com. We got shows going back for over 10 years. You could just download them and make Night Shift part of the soundtrack of your life. These stories are timeless. This information is what you need to know.
You could just
midnight. Monday. You can follow us on Twitter, NITESHIFTZ. That's on Twitter and on Instagram, NITESHIFT. No, well, actually, we're not on Instagram yet. No, we're on Twitter. Sorry. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook, NITESHIFT. We have stories that you don't see, that you don't hear here. No interruptions from Byron. Night shift. listen to